Na'irsa Torah Perkei Aleph, Siv Dalet, page Samach Vav, Samach Vav. Na'irsa Torah is the whole year is so beautiful, but especially to prepare for Shavuos. Everything here is Shavuosdik. Hatayim Arida Lamata Es Ha'olam Haruchani El Ha'adam. Of course, the big chiddush of Maimon HaSinai, the big chiddush of Shavuos, were changed. The Chazal put it is that until that time there was a gzeira, there was a decree that heaven and earth, Shamayim and Aretz, are separate. Of course, as we're learning this morning in Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, everything is Elokus, but there was a strong sense of there being a division, a separation, a mechitza that divided between heaven and earth. That was the metzias of the world before Matan Torah. The big chiddush of Matan Torah is Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayal Moshe and Vayered Hashem. It was a bitl of that gzeirah, was the nullification of that decree that separates, that there's a separation between above and below, between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. That's the chiddush of Matan Torah, that's the chiddush of Maimon HaSinai. There were individual people, of course, that made contact with the Bari Olam, that there should be such a thing, that the mechitza was taken away between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, that was only by HaSinai. Therefore, it's through the Torah. Does that mean that that the wall was taken away? That until then it was a Shemaim, Shemaim L'Hashem, V'Aretz Nosim L'Vnei Adam, that the heaven is Divine Shalom, Ruchni is, and then the earth is Gashmi is. It's a Shaychus, Ruchni is and Gashmi is. The way to make a Shidduch between above and below is through Torah. Torah brings down, brings into our lives, into this world, as Olam Haruchani El Ha'adam. It's Vayeyud Hashem. The Vayeyud Hashem is through the Torah. Hatorah Merida Lamata Es Olam Haruchani El Ha'adam. So Hashem Shbach brings Himself kivyachol down to us in this world. It's through the Torah. Since the Torah kivyachol is the embodiment of Hashem Yisbarach, Ano Nafshi Anoichi is Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis, that Hashem kivyachol engraved Himself into every word of Torah. By giving us the Torah, He gave us Himself. Ubezekola tanugam elyonim psuchim lefanav. And it's only through Torah that a person can experience all of the great tanugim, all the great pleasures and delights of ruchnius. It's only through Torah. Ubezekol ha-tanugim ha-yonim psuchim lefanav. A person has access, a Jew has access to all of the tanugim ha-yonim. All of the delicacies of above, a person has access to down here in this world. Suchim lefanav, they're open before him. V'zehu oisher ha'adam. And this is the great joy. The great oisher. Ha'adam betachlis yitzirasa. And the tachlis of his being created. So a person has to be able to receive. Hashem made Himself available through the Torah, and therefore kol ha'tanugim alyanim psuchim lefanav. But Shavuos is called Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the time, the day of the giving of the Torah. And the Sfarim say that we haven't yet fully received it. We call it Kabbalat HaTorah, but the day itself in our davening is Man Matan Torah Seinu, the time of giving of the Torah. But Hashem is Baruch, through the Torah, descended into this world, Kivyachal, is Vayeir Dasha, but the person and the world have to be open to receiving that. So it's called Zman Matan Torah said. Hashem gave the Torah. It means Ubezek Kala Tanugim Hal Yana Psuchim Lefanav. So Aisha Adam Tachlis Yitzirasa, and the joy of a person's life, and the Tachlis of his being created is to open himself up to be able to receive the Torah. So how does one do that? It's not just a matter of learning. It's not just a matter of studying. You could have a person that learns, and he doesn't have a shaychus to the Bar Yilam. Doesn't have. We've spoken about that throughout the Sefer. Toif se ha-tar lo yidouni. The Navi Yirmiyah was crying. It's not just a problem now. The Navi Yirmiyah said, Toif se ha-tar lo yidouni. Those who are great masters of Torah, lo yidouni. Hashem says to the Navi Yirmiyah, lo yidouni, they don't know me. They don't know me. Taif Seat Torah, the people who are learning Torah day and night, and lo yidouni, they don't know me. Why is that? And why is it that Hashem as well gave us the Torah, and He gave us the opportunity to experience all of these tanugim al yayinim that come with kivyachal descending into this world, and yet, we're not taking advantage of that. So Rav Kook explains. The Kotzke said once that Hashem, Vayered Hashem, and there was a Maimon HaSinai, and Hashem descended, the Shechina Kedosha descended into this world. Still, the Kotzke said that one needs to go on a ladder to take hold of that. There's a certain gap between the world above and this world. Meaning that even though it's true that Vayered Hashem, and it's true that the Torah is Marida Lamata as Ha'ilam Aruchani El Ha'adam, but there is a gap, and one has to do something to receive the Torah. The question is, what is the main requirement? What is it that's most basic in this process of connecting the world above with the world below? So if Cook writes, "Chadei laharid es ha'olam haruchani elav," in order that the person should be able to bring that. To bring that ruchnius that's just hovering ever so slightly above us, to bring it down into life. It doesn't come all the way down. It says, the other shlamatim asar tvachim, Chanukah is a different Indian. But it means that it's, in some way, it's just ever so slightly above us. And how does one draw, chdei lahayrid esa olam haruchani elav? To draw the Olam HaRuchani completely into our lives, to fill our lives, that there should be this zivug, this yichud between above and below. There are many things we could do to help this happen, but there's one most basic requirement. The most basic prerequisite is Tzarach Sheyargish Shehu Chaser Lai. One has to feel that it's missing from his life. You have to feel that you can't live without it. You have to feel empty, like a midbar. And that's why the Torah was given in the midbar. But the midbar, as we've spoken about many times, Tzvasamis explains on the tzaddikim, the nature of the midbar is that there's nothing else going on. And the midbar is just a place that's empty, it's desolate. And therefore the midbar is able to say Hashem, that if you're looking to start, if you're looking to open up a besmedrash over here, you're welcome. There's plenty of things you could do over here. There's room for a besmedrash over here. There's room to start something over here. That's really what the Sfas Emes explains in Parshas Bamidbar. When Chazal say in the Medrash that the Kivyachal Hashem didn't just go to the nations of the world, that Hashem is brach. It's compared to a king whose son was going to begin a malchus. The prince was going to begin a malchus. So he went looking for a place to start a malchus, and he went to this town, to this city, and they weren't interested. They already had their own malchus. Until Hashem Yisrael came to the Midbar, till the king, rather, came to the desert, and he opened up shop. The Midbar doesn't have anything doing there. So it's a t'nai. In order to receive the Torah, there has to be this recognition within oneself that there's nothing much doing inside of me. Meaning, I don't have anything on my own. That's a t'nai. Tzarech sheyagish shu chaser lai. Tzarech sheyagish shu chaser lai. Humility. Tzarech sheyagish shu chaser lai. You have to feel that it's something that is missing. And you have to make yourself into a midbar, into a desert, in order to receive it. It doesn't come into a place that's busy, the Torah. It stops right above. It doesn't come. The Torah wasn't given in Tokyo or Paris or New York or London. The Torah was given in a midbar. It wasn't even given in Eretz Yisrael, Zappella. It wasn't even given in Yerushalayim, which is the place of the connection of above and below. It was given in a midbar. Laimalach, that to teach each and every one of us forever and ever that unless you are a midbar, you really can't receive Torah. You could profess to understand Torah, and you could say it in your own way, but it's not the Torah of Hashem. It's certainly not the Anok Nafshi, it's not the soul of Hashem that you're connecting to. One can connect to the Seichel of Torah, even without feeling that you're Chosa, that you're a Midbar. The Seichel of Torah, the intellectual excitement of studying Torah, and so on. But as far as the Borei Olam is concerned, that it should be a Vayered Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's a Mekabel the Torah, and it had to be Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Odev Mikol Odem Hashem Pnei Adam, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who saw himself as the most empty, as the biggest midbar. And the bigger the midbar, the bigger Kabbalah's Torah. But if you have your inyanim going on, and Torah is just another thing that you do, you like to hear a shiur, you like to learn a little bit, so that's not what Maimon HaSinai was about. To learn a little bit and to enjoy a little bit. So Shiyagu Shu Chosalai Vahainu Ani Ezdaka. There's a pasuk in Perek Nazayin in Yeshaya. The Navi says over there, Ki Koy Omar Ram Venisa Shoichin Ad Vekodesh Shemai. Rav Kook doesn't bring the entire pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki ko amar, Hashem's Ram v'nisa, high and exalted, Shoichin ad v'kodosh shemai, Shoichin ad, Shechina is somewhere up there, whatever, beyond us, Kodosh, separated from us. So how do you cross, how does the Shechina cross over? Listen to the pasuk. When you read the first part of the pasuk, you can't have anything to do with such a Rabbanu Shalom. Ram v'nisa shoychen ad v'kadosh shemai. You can't have a relationship with somebody like that. Ram v'nisa. Marm v'kadosh eshkain. Hashem dwells in a place that is high and that is beyond. But then something amazing happens in the Sefer at the end of the Pasuk. And Chazal connect, of course, the beginning and the end, they're inseparable. But it's one pasuk. Morim v'kodesh eshkoin v'ezdaka u'shval ruach lahachyais ruach shfeilim u'lahachyais lev nitkoin. Again, v'ezdaka u'shval ruach. Hashem says, the eshkoin, the second eshkoin goes with the end of the pasuk, which is Vezdaku Shvaruach, which means I dwell among the despondent of lowly spirit. Daka Ushval Ruach, humble. Lahach Yes Ruach Shvelim, to revive the Ruach of those who are Shvelim, who are humble, who have humility. Lahach Yes Lev Nitkoim, and to revive the hearts of those who are despondent, who are tzibrochen. So the end of the pasuk is making a huge transition. There's a huge change from the resha to the sefer, the beginning of the pasuk to the end of the sefer. The beginning of the pasuk is Hashem is unknowable and beyond man. Unknowable. Ram v'nisa sheichin ad v'kadosh shemai. Unknowable. Completely beyond. And then the end of the pasuk is saying, however, I do make exceptions. This one who is unknowable and who is beyond and is ram v'nisa sheichin ad, this one says, I make exceptions. I make exception to this state that I live in, this unknowable, exalted state that I live in, being morum, high and distant, and kadosh, exalted and separate, I make an exception. And this is the only exception that we have. Meaning it's a tnai, it's a condition. And the condition is, ani es daka. Ushvaruach. Hashem says that I descend into the lives of those who are of humble spirit. Lahachya is ruach shvelim, and I will give life to revive the ruach shvelim. Lahachya is lev nitkoim, and the hearts of those who are despondent at tzibrochen. That's the tnai. It was the tnai then, and it's the tnai now. So how is it possible, to come back to the question, how is it possible to be somebody who's a lamdan, who knows a lot of Torah, but the Torah does not revive him? Lahachyais. Ruach shvelim. Lahachyais lev nitkoim. How is it possible that a person can be a brilliant scholar, but he doesn't feel the tanugim al yoinim, sufim the fun of the great delight and pleasure and joy of Dreikas Bashem, with all the Torah that he knows? So now Rav Kook is explaining. The only reason that's happening is because he's not a daka, he's not humble. He's not a shval ruach. If a person is a shval ruach, then the Torah is not something that's interesting. It's not that you go to the shir because it's exciting. You go to the shir or you open up the chumash and learn because it gives you life. You're a chaser, you're a midbar. It gives you life. There's a whole different way of how a person goes to learn Torah. There's a person who goes to learn Torah to be informed, to be educated, which of course that's terrific, and that's certainly exciting, and that's certainly wonderful. V'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. But if it ends with that, then the person has missed the point. When one goes to learn Torah, you're going like a person who's been dragging around in the midbar for 2 days and you haven't had a drink. And you're sticking out your tongue is falling out of your mouth, and the Baruch Shalom drops a piece of Torah from Shemayim to give you life. Then the Torah is not just something that educates, the Torah is something that gives you life. Lahachyais. Lahachyas ruach shvelim. It's also something that's hard to explain. This, but Otherwise, a person goes to learn Torah. So he goes to this fancy svara and to say this and to shlug up that and to say better than the Rebbe and to have the pleasure of being smarter than the Shai Gazayeh in his opinion. Then it doesn't give him life. He could say the Torah is a chiyus, but it doesn't give him life. And then you could have a very, very simple Jew. And he's not a Talmud Chacham, but he's a Daka. He's a Shlal Ruach, he's a humble person. And every Ilvarti he hears gives him chiyus. It gives him back his neshama. Gives him back his life. And you could have another person, he's a big Lamdan, he knows Shas and Poskim, and he walks around like he's dead. Because the Torah didn't give him life. Didn't revive him. Because the beginning of the Pasuk, it can only come to us through the end of the Pasuk. The beginning of the Pasuk is Kayama Rambanisa Shaykhan Ad Kadesh Shemai. That's beyond. It's unknowable. So you can't have a relationship with somebody like that. There's this guy from this there's a place that they call itself a yeshiva, it's kind of yeshiva, whatever it is. They study Talmud, and this person was telling me how it's impossible to have a relationship with God. And he was trying to say pshat in the Rambam like that it's impossible to have a relationship with God. Once mentioned, he was very upset because he came to a Shia and I said in the Shia that Hashem loves us, and he said there's no such thing, he doesn't love, and we don't love it. It doesn't mean that when it says the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, it doesn't mean when it says in the Torah that Hashem loves us. It means something else. It's not possible. It only means to understand more, but there's no such thing as love. There's no such thing as Ahav. The trademark of that chevra is this inyan of gasas ruach, of gaiv and gasas ruach, of their teacher and of the ruach. There is a ruach, not a ruach shvelim. God forbid somebody there, chas v'chalila, would have a terrible tragedy and the child would be dying, then he would know there's such a thing as a relationship with God. Then he would all of a sudden, or he would need a relationship with God. It's not possible to have a relationship with God because the first part of the pasuk says, "Ram v'nisa sheichan ad v'kadosh shema." So then he comes up with the pshetlich in the Maimonides that there's no relationship with the Bari Olam. But if you live by the second half of the pasuk, "Eshkoin v'ezdaka u'shvaruach lahachyes ruach shveil lahachyes leitnet kama," Hashem says. And that's why Rav Kook goes on and brings the Gemara. Kupos al Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Har Mugvo. It's over there. It's in the same Gemara. Kupos al Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Har Mugvo Shabarlam. Everybody knows since we're children that there were other mountains that they wanted. The mountains were clamoring. Different big chosh of the mountains wanted the Torah, that the Torah should be given, whatever, this fancy mountain, this big mountain, and the mountains were all chalishing to receive the Torah, that it should take place on them. But for Lahishra Shchinasa El Al HaSinai, all the little children come back from kindergarten, from nursery, this they know. They know, and this is their hachana that they make in school for Shavuos, which is the best hachana you can make for Shavuos, besides, I guess, cheesecake in some circles. The best hachana you can make for Shavuos is when the children come home and they know that there are big shot conceited mountains that said that Torah is going to be given on me. And the Baruch Shalom said, no. There's this sweet, little, quiet, humble one, Har Sinai, and the Rebbe Shlom says that's the place. And the children have a relationship with Hashem's book because they are like that. And as they said in Pshischa, that the Kasha in Pshischa was, so the Rebbe Shlom is so fond of humility, then why did it have to be a mountain at all? He should have given the Torah in a valley, in a crater in the Midbar, right? Why on a mountain? So Pshisa, they said, because a person is not a shmata. That's what he said. If Rebbe Bunim said, a person is not a shmata. If you're being humble doesn't mean you're nobody. So you have to be a somebody. That's not what it means to be humble, to be a crater. That's what it means. That's not what the book means. It means you have to be a little mountain. But not a Mount Everest or anything like that. Just a little mountain. A Har Sinai. And Hashem Shabbat says, Ufasal Kadosh Baruch Hu Kol Har Mugvel Shabbalim. Hashem passed all the other mountains in the world, Chazal say. All the big mountains are saying, Olai, on me the Torah should be given. Look at, I soar to up above the world and I'm so tall and this and that. V'layhishu shchinasa el al ha'asinai. Hashem Shabbat said, no, the shchina is for ha'asinai. V'laygova ha'asinai l'mal. Ha'asinai did not try to raise itself, to make itself into something that it wasn't. To dress itself up, to make itself. Ha'asinai wasn't. Didn't run for the position. But Hasina had one inyan. Hasina's inyan was that I can't live without it. I'm nothing without it. That's the tnai. That's what it means to be makabel Torah. Beis Hei. Kishahodam kar beruchai v'rayonai sevel atayra. It goes back a little bit to the beginning of the parak, but when a person feels a natural closeness in his way of feeling, in his way of thinking, el atayra. We were learning about that at the beginning of the parak, that there's a certain that a person has. All Jews have a natural connection to Torah, but there are some who have more of a feeling of this. K'shodam kar beruchai v'rayonai sevel haTorah. Sometimes if a person that never learned Torah his entire life is about tshuva and just later in life started to learn. And when he learns, the most amazing thing is that whatever he's learning, he says, that's my whole life, I'm thinking about that. That's what I'm thinking about my whole life. Then you could have another person that's learning Torah his whole life, and whatever he thinks about is different than what he's learning. There is such a thing. It's strange, but there is such a thing. I'm not like that. You have a Baal Shuvah, never learned Torah, and he always like to, you know, to talk to a person, so what was it that did it for you? What was Makar of you? You know, what happened to you? You were living your life in a completely secular way, whatever it is, and then you changed. That's a big thing to do. It's a big thing to do. We those who were raised from homes, we can't change from, you know, to make a little bit of a change in the tiny little thing, and you are able to turn your whole life around. How do you do that? So there are the particulars of the story, whatever that might be, that I met this person, the person we had close, I was by the Kaisel, and you know, all kinds of stories. But one of the themes that I have found runs through most of the stories, when you talk to the person, you get to the bottom of the story that when they were learning, when they were starting to learn Torah, they felt that they were meeting up with themselves. Because the more they were learning, the more they were coming to this realization that I didn't know any of these concepts officially. I had no connection to any of this, but everything that I'm learning is these are things I was thinking about. I was thinking about this, so I had some sort of a hergish that this is the truth. I never read it anywhere. I never heard people talking about it. And that's why you see the Baal Shul, they get so excited about, they can be singing the same shir with somebody who was raised in yeshiva. And the guy sitting in yeshiva is, you know, looking at his nails and this, and looking at his iPad and whatever he's doing over there, and half asleep, and then this year, you know, whatever. And the Baal Tshuva is going out of his kelim. Baal Tshuva is going out of his kelim. Oh. So there are a number of reasons to that, but a very simple reason is that the Baal Tshuva, it's like, can you imagine that you have certain thoughts that you're working over your whole life, and then you find out that God also thinks like that. That's a pretty chashuv thing. It's exciting enough when you're thinking something, you find out that the Rambam says that, right? That's pretty exciting. But a Baal Tshuva walks around and he hears things and he says, I can't believe it. God says that. I've been saying that my whole life. And everybody, you know, like everybody makes fun of me. Ah, be quiet. What are you talking about? That's ridiculous. Now and you go to, he goes to the shir and he finds out that the creator of the universe has the same svar. That's exciting. That's exciting. What about the guy that's from birth, so to speak, using that silly lotion, but it's a lotion that everybody is familiar with. What about the person that was raised and came to Torah? So it's the same Indian, it's a different variation of the same thing. I heard this already 1,000 times, been there, done that. It's not anything new. It's not anything new, it doesn't interest me, it doesn't excite me, whatever it might be. Okay, you see an interesting thing. You ever noticed this? I spoke about it last week. I only spoke to the father and son. It's an interesting thing that's going on here, but I've noticed it all the time. And not only that, but I remember when I was a kid. But I'm just checking this out with you. Let me see if you also have seen this. You get teenage boys in a shul, or even little boys in a shul. Whenever you have the custodian in the shul, the guy that works in the shul, the guy that works in the shul, the boys all like are clamoring also to talk to him, to hang out with him. They wouldn't go near their Rebbe. The second class is out. Even while they're there, they have all kinds of demyanis of how this person could somehow be removed from the world. And the second class is over, they're finished. They're always going to talk. Whenever all you do is put any guy into a shul, or any guy into a yeshiva, and everybody goes, this is nice, that was a chiddush. They want to hear something. It's an amazing thing. So what comes out? It comes out like this. The Baal Tshuva is thinking about his whole life. He's waiting to meet God. And then he hears something. And he says, wow, God is saying, I was thinking about that my whole life. The kid in the yeshiva, he's thinking about shtusim and havalim and narishkeit his whole life. And then when he meets the guy, he says, oh, I can't believe it. I was thinking about that my whole life. Every stupidity that you say, I was thinking about that. Wow, I finally met someone that's talking my language. I was just thinking about that. It was an amazing thing. I always go down for shul and this thing. And I'm not saying anything about our fellow. He's a sweet guy. Bemis is a nice guy. And he works hard. No, I'm not saying Khalil. I'm just saying, but I saw someone as a kid too. The only thing is my father said to me, you don't go within 20 feet of that guy. And in those days, we listened to our fathers. At least some of us did. But my father said, you don't go near him. I said, he's a nice guy. You don't go anywhere near him. But said, why is that? What's the tshuka to have his car, the guy that's cleaning? Like, what's this car? What's the Indian? Look at it. It's an amazing thing. He walks around here like any, and it's not just this one, because he happens to be the nicest fellow we've had. But there any one of the guys that come here, the Bachram follow him around, each one like a Pied Piper. For Chiddush, Epis, a Chiddush, Zutim, Epis, something. I want to be Makabel something from you.
It's sports.
Yeah, sports. No. It's too simple. No. You can get sports. You can get sports from a Yid also, because he wants to hear what happened on Shabbos. That's all it's about. He didn't because he wants to hear what happened on Shabbos.
They know it's
going to happen. No, it's not so question. You plop a guy anywhere. If a fireman walks on 16th Avenue, there'll be 45,000 little Bachram following him around. Not just because he's putting out a fire. They want to hear a Chiddush. Something different, something new, something exciting. Something exciting, something new. It's not just because they want to hear what happened to the Yankees last night. Something new. So here, and he hears something, he says, oh, wow, this is exciting. This is something I've been waiting to hear. This is something we're waiting to hear. You see these Chassidish in the light, that they were raised by Kedusha B'Tahara, they have parents, Holocaust survivors, Sadiqim at Taharim, and you have these Chassidish in the light, they walk around, they got 10 times more machines than anybody here. They got stuff in under the hat, in their pants, on their belts, locked in pocket, machines walking around with every single technology. It's a Chiddush. They were raised, they didn't have any of that stuff. They were raised, all they ever heard was that the world is no good, the world is no good, the world is evil, the world is evil, and now all they want is the world. Every minute to have the world. There was never such a thing. You can live, you can live on Rutledge, and you can live on, and you can live on Roebling in Williamsburg. And you can live in Meir Sharm and Gula, and you have a thing this big, and you have the whole world. And the Baal Tshuva, just wants to hear what the Baruch Shalom has to say. There are a number of reasons for that, but it's the tivius that when a person meets up with a certain teva that hasn't been and that teva hasn't been addressed, hasn't been tended to, so then he goes crazy for it. It's natural. It's the teva of a person. So the Baal Tshuva is going around for 35 years, and he's looking, he's thinking, but he hasn't found it. And then he goes to a shiur and he starts to hear, and he says, "Wow. That's what I've been thinking about. The Baruch Shalom's thing. That's the Baruch Shalom's thing. What I'm thinking about." And the person was sitting in Torah his whole life. See, he goes and he hears the guy says something, or they say something on the computer. But that's what my whole life I was trying to hear that. Now I hear it. It's such a crazy thing, but that's how it is. That's the teva. So you see, it's possible to be living in a world of Yiddishkeit, of Frumkeit, but to be very far away from it. And for it not to be natural to you. For it to be unnatural. Because you didn't connect to it in a deep way. It's possible. That's what we were talking about in the last Siv. So it's unnatural. You don't feel a natural, deep connection to it. It's an unnatural, artificial connection. That you were put into that world, but you don't feel that it's you. You feel it's unnatural. So therefore, any time you can get something outside of that world, you enjoy it. And you feel, that's natural. Now you're talking my language. Now you're talking whatever it is, sports, whatever it is. That's my natural. So a kid sits all day in yeshiva, and his rebbe going on and on and on. And all of this, he's going on and on and on. All of this he feels is unnatural. It's not me. It's unnatural. And then he goes outside, and he sees the custodian, and the custodian goes over to the custodian and says, "Hey," and they start to schmooze and have a good time. He wants to hear what the custodian has to say. He wants to macabre something from, and that he feels is natural, which is nothing to get all worked up about, because it's natural. You just have to know how to deal with it. The avodah, of course, is to make it known to each and every Jew in the world that the Torah is that which is most natural. But if one doesn't feel it's his nature, it's very hard to break through. It's very, very hard to break through that. To break through, to get to that place, it takes a tremendous amount of humility. But see, take a look, you'll see, you'll notice that it's in every shul, or in any yeshiva, wherever there's a guy. It could be the scariest guy also. But the kids all, the boys in particular, will flock to any guy that steps into a yeshiva or into, they'll go run to him. And if they would give him to say Drosh on Shabbos, if I would give our friend over here Israel to say the Shabbos Drosh, all the boys would come to the Drosh. They would come to the Drosh. It wouldn't make a difference what he would darshan, but they would come to the Drosh. And if he would say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," then the boys would say, "There's the pool. The Lord our God, the Lord is one." You think, it's a joke? It's not a joke. I wouldn't experiment like this, Chas V'Shalom. But if you get the guy to get up and to say the Shabbos HaKadosh Drasha, the adults wouldn't come. There would be a whole sick. But the Bachrim, all the Bachrim would come. The Bachrim would all come. Did you hear Israel saying the Shabbos HaKadosh Drasha? You heard? That's the guy over here. Israel saying the Shabbos HaKadosh Drasha. You heard? You're going to have here 500 bachim. They're going to come from all the schools and all the shuls. They're going to come to hear Israel Dash. And they'll get up there and they'll say that God gave the Jewish people the Torah. And the kids are going to go home out of their kelim. The Baruch Shalom gave. You heard what he said? Israel said that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Israel said that. So someone said, hey, that's all your rabbi talks about day and night. My rabbi. Israel said that Israel said. You understand that? He said that God gave us the Torah. That's it. That's something. It's a joke, but it's not so funny. Because it's 100% batuach that that's what it would be. There'd be every bachur in the community would have a spyless from it, and they would all come to see. And they'd all come to hear, and they'd have a chiyas from it. You can't do such a thing, but they'd all have a chiyas from it. Because they feel that they're in an unnatural matzav, and they want to hear something outside. It takes a very, 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 very special rebbe and a very special mara teacher to bring out in a child the feeling that this is natural. This is my nature. When I was a teenager, I was a good basketball player. And we used to do that a lot. We used to go in the winter. I remember shoveling away snow in the playground. We used to go with shovels and we'd shovel away snow to make a place to play basketball. Used to play a lot of basketball. And then it came to the time in high school there was a team in the yeshiva. So I liked basketball and I thought that would be fun. So I went to and I was pretty good at it. I went to try out. And I got onto the team, but I quit after 2 weeks. I couldn't take it. He had us doing layups, like for hours. You know what it means, a layup?
No.
You know what that is?
No, what is it?
It's when you run with the ball right up next to the basket and you put it in. And not from far away, but right up, you have to run up and you put it in. Yeah. So, it's the easiest shot, but it's also the most chosh of a shot in some ways. But it was like hours. And he was an older guy with a whistle. It wasn't a very nice guy. He was screaming all the time, and with a whistle, and he was again nacham hala layup a layup nacham layup 1,000 layups, and he said, I remember he used lashonis like that. I'm gonna do this till in your sleep, in your dreams, you're gonna be doing layups like, you know, nice lays, like you're gonna be, this is. Until it becomes mamish, a part of you. Until it becomes like a part of you. So I remember feeling like I can get out of here, it's crazy. I like to play basketball, but I've come to drill camp or anything like that. And it's like West Point, and he's talking like crazy. And they have to go like 3 nights a week for 2 hours. I said, I just wanted to have fun. I'm not missing Star Trek for this, you know what I mean? This is getting too crazy. It's getting too crazy over here. No, it's getting too much. But it had to become natural. This is like who you are. You think you're a Yid. You think you're a Zera Avram. You're not. You're a person that does layups. That's who you are. And you have that in every profession. If you come to an office, so they try to break the guy in. They try to break into a certain mahalach that this is the teva, till it becomes your teva. The teva of a Jew is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The teva of a Jew is Torah. There's some people who are closer to that and feel closer to that, and there's some people who feel further away from that. Why that is and how that is, that's not for now. But that's the Metzius. That's the Metzius. Mikshodim Karav Baruchai V'Rayanai Sevel HaTorah. When a person feels b'teva, he feels, this is me. His own ideas shtim. They correspond to things that he hears in Torah. He hears something and you say, oh, that's what I think. That makes sense to me. That's what I've had on my mind. I didn't know how to put into words. I didn't know what the pasuk was. I didn't know what the chazal was. Oh, that's me. With such a person, when he comes, when he learns Torah with humility, mi'irais olav ha'aris ha'alyanais. The highest ha'aris, the highest light of Torah shines upon this person. Mi'irais olav ha'aris ha'alyanais. To translate that, to explain that. His midas and all of his tchunis, all of his characteristics, everything about him, misroimimaisumis alois, ascend, mis alois, misroimimais. Like the Gemara says about Rav Yosef, ilav ha yoyim akami Yosef ike b'shuka. If not for the Torah being given, there'd be many Yosefs in the marketplace. Rashi says, "Lamati Torah v'nisraimamti." V'nisraimamti. Rabbi Yosef says, "I learned Torah, and through the Torah, I became a different person. Meaning, I was a different. I became an elevated person. The Torah is not just to educate. Again, the Torah is to lahachyes ruach shveilim." Leiv nitkoim lahachyos, to give life. It's a different thing. If Yosef said, if I wouldn't learn Torah, I'd still be a smart person. But kam Yosef, I'd be another Yosef. But lamarti Torah, it's a different thing. Midoisav, chol chunayisim, misramas, misalas. Everything about the person's misala becomes elevated. You think that Rav Moshe Feinstein was just a smarter person than us? So then the easiest cap is to say, ah, come on, he was probably a really good kid also. He was probably such a nice little boy. Rav Moshe Feinstein wasn't just much smarter than us. He was a different getter of a mensch. He's a different human being. Because the hisroimus of a person, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Abba Rebbe, Lubavitch Rebbe, wasn't that just that they were smarter than us? They're smart. They're geniuses. But cult midoisav, cult chunoisav, misroimimimis, misalois, it's a different human being. Everything, the midas, the tchunis, everything. Misroimimis, misalois, misroimimis, misalois. Everything is higher. When they say good morning, it's a different good morning than a regular person. It's not the same good morning. When you heard from Rav Palma, good morning, it was a different good morning. It was a different good morning. It wasn't the same good morning. Because everything, midoisav, kol tchunoisav, misroimimais, misalois, mismalois, ziv shalchayim elyon, filled with the radiance of a higher life, of something higher. The good morning of the tzaddik is filled with something else. It's not just a regular good morning. When you hear good morning from a tzaddik, it changes. It makes your day different. It's something different. B'tzinoiris oirim shel shad chayim k'doishim. Tzinoiris, like pipes. Channels of oirim, light, fire, oirim, shel l'shad chayim, of the moistness, the of life, kedoshim, the vibrancy of chayim kedoshim, of holy life, mashpiyim alav as shifa zivam, a mashpi on the person, shifa zivam, from the radiance, the, I don't know how to translate this. But the person is, these are people who are there's a Yiddish word, the Haibana. They're above. They said Reb Shlomo LeKalina that he was three tefachim higher than the world. And the chassidim used to go look on the floor to see, if they could see a space between Reb Shlomo Kalina's feet and to see the floor between the, if there was a space between Reb Shlomo Kalina's feet and the floor. Because the Tanya said on him that Reb Shlomo Kalina is three tefachim higher. He's not in the world. He's higher than the world. So the chassidim got to see what happened over here. And of course they're disappointed to see that it looks like his feet are on the ground. Well, Tanya wasn't saying that there's some kind of a special effect going on. What Tanya was saying is that Shlomo Kalina is lav me'al mahadeng, is not from this world. He wasn't spoiled and ruined by the world. He's higher than the world. The world didn't get to him. The world didn't get to him. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. The world didn't get to him. This is a person who's not just educated by Torah, but he's transformed by the Torah. The rig shekir v'selokim adina mefamim oisai, and feelings, delicate and gentle feelings of closeness to God, are beating inside of him and give him life. You can be sure that when Rav Kook was writing all of these things, it never ever entered his mind that he was writing about himself. This is all Rav Kook. Val zois yispalo kol chosid v'yizor b'chol drochov v'maisov. Now the question is, what room is that natural? I said before there are many reasons why a person would not have this natural feeling of closeness to Torah. Why it's unnatural. The most obvious reason is what Cook says here. In the last sif he was talking about a lack of humility, of course. But here, it's something else. Chait, sin, aveiros, dibur, machshava, dibur, maisa, cause Yiddishkeit to become unnatural. Cause a feeling of unnaturalness with Yiddishkeit. Chet. Especially the inyan of Chatas Nurim with Bochim, that causes a feeling of distance. A terrible feeling of distance. V'alzoisis palakol chosid v'yizor b'chol drach v'maisif. And therefore, using the pasuk, as I spoke closer, that every person who wants to be something davens, and he's careful with everything that he does. The dibur of all of his words, utnuaisav, and all of his movements, that he shouldn't, God forbid, do anything that's wrong. He shouldn't do anything that's chalila and aveiru, that's against Hashem's will. Anything that we do that's against Hashem's will creates a mechitza, makes a wall. And that wall causes the person on the other side to feel far. And when you feel far, you feel that it's not natural. Ligum shum chet v'avayin. That he should stay far away from any chet and avayin, any sin. Not that, anything. Lehi also is mechitza beinu ubein ha'or ha'elyon, because any chet creates a mechitza, a blockage. And when there's a blockage, then it doesn't feel natural. Then it feels strange and unnatural. And for the Bochum are struggling with that inyan of growing up, the transition from being innocent little children to being Bochum is a very, very difficult one. It's a very, very difficult transition to make. So it's not a pella that he wants to hear what the guy says, not his rabbi. It's not a pella. It's a very hard transition to make. Some of them don't make it to the other side. Hashem Yirachem. It makes a wall. The pouring, that Hashem's pouring that Chaim Amitim, true life that's pouring, pouring. Shem Heim Adrachim Amufuloshim La'Eshar Ha'Elyon, that these are the pathways that are open and clear, that lead La'Eshar Ha'Elyon to the highest joy, to the highest feeling of contentment and joy. These are the Tanugim Ha'Elyonim that Rav Kook was talking about in Seif Dalet. Only Hashem sees and knows all the tanugim that are out there in the tzaddikim. The tzaddik can't describe that. Only Hashem, these tanugim of chayim amitim, of true life, sha'ayin le'rosu, you can't see this with your eye. Elokim, only Hashem sees these things. But those who are mechakeloi, those who in this world are mechakeloi, who are longing to have this connection, to have this feeling, they're able to have a taste of it. They're able to have a connection to this type of a life, to a way of learning Torah that makes them into exalted people, changes their lives, not just makes them smarter, but makes them elevated and higher than the rest of the world. We should be zeichet to be among the machaken.
Amen.